Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
We go back to this place where we want to know the Word of God and what does the Bible have to say about what is going on right now. We began by talking about what is God doing. And we looked at a series of verses. We did 7 weeks on what is God doing? What is God doing in the world? We said He's shaking things that can be shaken so that what cannot be shaken will remain. And then we switched gears about 3 weeks ago and said, what is God saying? And I began to tell you about a personal experience of receiving my issue of The Economist and seeing that globe with that sign closed. I dropped it in our sofa, and the following morning, I woke up and saw the same magazine, and as if by the Spirit, I saw the word rest. And I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, what is God saying to us? He's saying rest. I referenced to you in the last few messages about this picture of China, Beijing and Wuhan, as you can see on the map, and the level of pollution in this area of China. And I showed you what happened when NASA had this thing that they saw that the pollution disappeared. In other words, God's giving the atmosphere a rest. But the fact of the matter is the atmosphere is only resting only because we've stopped consuming and we ourselves are at rest. This would be the picture of what God wants us to enjoy, and this would be what He is really saying to us, rest. We began the series with part one, talking about understanding rest. As we saw, we don't completely understand it. Last week, Easter Sunday, we talked about the King of Rest. And today, our third part of the series, we want to talk about entering God's rest, which is our rest. And this is really the picture of what God wants for us. He made us in His image. We are capable of having a relationship with Him to enjoy Him forever. The King of Rest. And this is the ideal for us. This should be what you look like. And as you rest, the rest of all of creation rests with us. But the truth of the matter is our lives look more like this because we are a restless people. The question is, why are we restless? We answered that last week by saying, because of this word called corruption. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And maybe you're not saying there is no God, but your behavior belies you because you don't even spend time with God. Hence, there is no God. They're all corrupt, it says, and their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. As a result of that, we're distanced from God, the God of rest, and so we become restless. The Lord looks down from heaven, and on all mankind, and to see what's happening, and He sees all mankind, and he sees that no one is seeking Him. All have turned away, and all have become corrupt. There's that word corrupt, and there's no one who does good. And that's why last week we said, hence the need for a Savior. And His name is Jesus, the King of Rest. The King of Rest, therefore, invites us in Matthew 11, 28, come to Me. All of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest is coming to Jesus. Take My yoke, He says. A yoke is, as I've said last week, this thing that two horses put together in each other so they can walk together in harmony, in step with each other. And that's what God wants. Take My yoke, which is easy and light, so that you can walk with Him. Because as you walk with Him, you learn from Him. You learn the rhythms of life. I'm gentle. That yoke is not heavy, it's gentle, and humble in heart. And as you do that and walk with Me, you will find rest for your souls. Now, while we've heard that message last week, the fact of the matter is a lot of people are still going to be saying, I'm too busy. And because I'm too busy, I'm always tired, I'm stressed, I'm distracted. In fact, I'm not just busy, I'm too busy. I'm too tired, I'm too stressed, and I'm too distracted. And the reason why that happens, for the most part, is because we actually think it's normal. We think that this is normal. Why do we think this is normal? Because we think that if we stop working, the world will stop working. It's just funny how now we're all at home, we're all sitting at home, and yet the world is still working. Oxygen is still being supplied, water is still being supplied, life goes on. We're actually probably getting healthier by not working. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't work. The idea of resting in God is not that we won't work anymore, but that we're working in step with Him because He does the heavier work. And as such, we're rested and we become even more productive. There's an interesting story in the book of John, a story of Jesus healing a sick man, a man who couldn't walk. And He was going to heal him, and He healed him. And this man, in verse 13, was healed and had no idea it was Jesus, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Now remember, last week I talked about the altercation that Jesus had with the Pharisees. And they were insisting that they shouldn't have picked up grain on the Sabbath day because that was against the law. And Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. In other words, it's not the religious laws that matters. It's God wanting man to enjoy the Sabbath with Him. That was the point. And the Jewish leaders couldn't understand it. And here's what Jesus said after they were accusing Him. In defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at work to this very day. In other words, that's what He's saying. That's what God is saying to us right now. You can rest because God is causing the earth to rotate. God is causing the sun to come up. God is causing the flowers to bud, the vegetables to bud, the animals to grow. In other words, you are going to rest, but you got to understand something very basic and fundamental. Without God resting, or working rather, you will not find rest. And the more you understand that God is still at work, and Jesus said, I too am working, then you can find rest to know that God is with you and God is working for you, and you can rest in that as you do your own work. Question for you today. Can you identify parts of your work that can be worked out by God? There are things in my work, the thing that I'm doing right now, there are things that I cannot do. I've got to trust God in order to do this thing I'm doing even right now. But the problem is when we think that if we stop working, the whole world will stop working, then we're going to keep working and we're never going to learn how to rest. But the second reason I've found why people don't know how to rest is because we think that if we stop working, we will get left behind or others will get ahead of us. Isaiah chapter 55 verse 2 says, I will go ahead of you. I will go before you. And I will level the mountains for you. In other words, the hard things that you can't do, I'll do it for you. I'll break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars. I'll do that's impossible. More than that, he says, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord. That's what God wants to do. When we rest and know that God promised that, then we can work while we are at rest. No stress, no problems, not too busy, not too tired, walking with God. Second question for you. What mountains do you need leveled? Are there? And what barriers do you need broken down so you can experience rest in God? You think about that. Take a snapshot of that slide right there and ask yourself that question and begin to pray and ask God, Lord, level this mountain for me. Lord, remove this barrier for me because I want to experience your rest. Now, some of you are probably saying, no way, Pastor. If I stop working, my world will not work. In fact, the world will fail. Well, let me tell you something. No way means no rest. So the question begins to become, how do you do it? How do you find rest? Okay, I get it. I understand what rest is. It's enjoying God for who He is. I understand who rest is. Jesus is the King of rest, and I can go to Him. But the question is, how? How do I do it? Now, I've used this computer to ask that question, to give you a mnemonic, a reminder every time you touch your laptop or your desktop, and to remind you that there is a button in that computer to remind you how to find rest, and that button is the enter button. Except you have to add another word to it, and that's the word in. Because rest is entering into God's presence. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Notice it says the promise of entering into his rest. In other words, there is a promise. Rest is a promise from God. It was the whole goal of creation. God wanted to rest so that we can enjoy him. Now further it says, entering this rest still stands. The promise is still right there. It is for you. And then he says, let us be careful that none of us be found to have fallen short of it. In other words, while there is a promise from God, we need to enter in. And if we're not careful, we might fall short of getting into that rest, is what this verse is saying. Verse 2 says, for we have also had the good news proclaimed to us. He's saying that you've heard the gospel. You've heard the good news. You've heard that Jesus is the King of rest. And now you can enjoy rest in him and you can enter into him. Now notice the second part of the verse. It says, we've also had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. He's talking about two sets of people here. People who've heard the good news, and there are those who also heard the good news. But second half of the verse says, the message they heard was of no value to them. In other words, you may have heard the King of peace, the King of glory, the King of rest. Jesus is that King, and yet you did not enter in, and you did not, were not careful enough to enter in. You missed it because the message you heard was of no value to you. Because, it says, they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. In essence, entering in requires faith. In other words, if you look at that button, to enter in must be done by faith. You can't enter into the presence of Jesus or God, the King of rest, without faith. What exactly is faith? Well, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. We have hopes. And by the way, everybody needs hope. You're not getting out of bed without hope. If you're not hoping this coronavirus is not going to be over, you're never going to work anymore. If you don't hope that your children will be healed or your children will advance into greater realms, there's no reason to live. Hope is important. We all have something that we're hoping for. Better lives, better jobs, better health, better relationships. The fact is, regardless of what we hope for, the question is, what do we put our confidence in for that hope is the issue. Some will put it on certain things to save their lives. Some will put it on flimsy things. Some will put it on businesses, on other people. And this moment in time, you cannot put it on anything but faith in God, is what Hebrews 11 is saying. To trust him, that he is the only confidence for that very thing that we are hoping for. But if he says faith does not stop there, it is also the assurance of the things that we do not see. That's what faith is. Confidence for the thing that we hope for, but the assurance of the things that we do not see. And by the way, the most valuable things in life are things we don't see. Air, for example, we don't see it, but it's more valuable than anything we can have in life. Gravity. We don't see it, but without it, our life will float around. Our furniture will float around. We cannot exist without these things. The funny thing about these, they're not just invisible. They are unlimited supply. Time is eternal. It is beginning to end. There's no measure to it. On earth, there is a limit. There's a time to be born, a time to die. But above the heavens, there is no limit to time. They're more valuable. And that's what faith is. The assurance of the things that we don't see. But you know what? There's something greater than air, gravity, time, love. Unlimited love is the secret. Peace, forgiveness, grace, mercy. A lot of the things that are most valuable in life are invisible. And the funny thing about invisible things like air is we don't see it, but we see its effects. We see waves fly. We see waves move and flowers move and fly into the winds. Same with gravity and love and peace. We see its effects. That's what faith is. Now further in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You're not going to please God by doing good works. You're not going to please God by doing all sorts of stuff. It is when you have faith that pleases God. Because anyone who comes to him to rest in him, must believe that he exists. If you do believe that there's air, you're going to breathe that air. If you do believe there's gravity, you're not going to walk out of a 5-story building because you know that these things are going to work against you or for you. In the same way, when you believe that God exists, then you pray and you listen to his word and you trust his word and you put your faith in him. And not only do you believe that he exists, you believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him, who seek him day in and day out and says, God, you are better than air. You are more existing than air. Your presence is all over this place in my life. Because by faith, the Bible says in Hebrews, we understand that the whole universe was created by this invisible God. By faith, we give God our best. By faith, we obey God. By faith, we receive things from God. By faith, we please God. And more importantly, by faith, we enter into his rest, which becomes our rest. I have a question for you. Final question. What do you put your confidence in? When you have a hope, what is the confidence that you know that was it because you own this business or you have this big wadding bank account? How much value do you put on the things that are invisible, the things that you don't see? And that is faith. When we have faith, we will experience the fullness of God. We will enter in to his rest. Lord, we thank you that while life can be overwhelming and the thing around us may be shaking or there's problems in the day-to-day occurrence of our lives, God, we thank you that nothing is impossible with you, Jesus. In your name, all things are possible. And so, Lord, we look to you and we look to heaven and we believe, God, that you are able to do work for us. And that, Lord, while we still will work hard and do the things we need to do, we know that there are things we can't do, but you're working these things for us. And we thank you, God, that not only that, Lord, that you are leveling mountains for us and that you're breaking barriers so that we may be able to enter into your rest. And God, help us, Lord, to put our confidence in nothing and no one of the very things we hope for, the best things that we hope for our families, for our lives, for our health, for our finances, Lord. But may we put our confidence and faith in nothing and no one but you. And God, we ask you to show us that the substance and the assurance of the very things that we hope for are the things that we don't see, God, is supplied by you. That you are God and that you care for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.